there, everybody. It is January 18th, 2012, and you are listening to This Show Is So Gay. I'm Ken. As always, you can get in touch with us by dropping us a line. Email us at ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com to find out all the cool things happening with our little gay radio show that could. That's what I'm calling it now.
Cool.
Yeah. And go to the Facebook, type in This Show Is So Gay, like us, because we sure as heck like you. Hi, Jody.
Hi, Ken.
I do feel like you haven't been here in a little bit.
It's been a little bit.
We haven't done a show in a while. What gay things have you been up to since your last appearance on This Show Is So Gay?
Well, definitely the gay trip to Minnesota.
Oh, that was your immigration trip.
Yeah.
Oh, there, where, did you make anybody legal?
Well, I was certainly legally in the state.
Okay. Yeah. Well, that's good. You had a visa and a passport and stamp. I went to Mohegan Sun this past Sunday, which I thought was not gay.
It's not.
I saw Bowser and Sha-na-na and this whole doo-wop extravaganza. And I actually thought how we went for my mom's 65th birthday. And I was thinking that it would have been difficult with some of those songs. Like the songs were, I guess what's the difference between the songs then and the songs now that are very heterosexist, you know, that are all about. So I don't know why, but for some reason at Bowser and Sha-na-na's doo-wop extravaganza, it occurred to me, oh gosh, it was very, it just felt more gendered than normal. I could be wrong.
No, it
just felt that way.
My mom loves that.
I know she was there. I saw her.
I bet she was. I bet she was.
It felt like she was there.
Yeah.
Well, this is the 151st show. Last week was the 150th show, which was really, really exciting. And
that is exciting.
Folks should go to commonsnews.org, .org, and there's this really, really great piece written by our friend Olga all about how we have reached our 150th show, and you have a shout-out in there. And
that's great.
My dad was interviewed, and Steve West, who's co-hosted, and Jen, who's co-hosted. And there's a shout-out to Becca, who co-hosted the first 90-something shows. So it's a really cool piece to learn all about why it is that we do what we do. And we're always looking to add new features to the show. Mm-hmm. Like this week, we have sound effects. So if I say something particularly poignant, perhaps what's going to happen is, look at that. You used to play drums?
Yes, I did.
I just happened to be sitting in a place with drums.
Yeah.
It's really not going to be an ongoing segment, folks, so don't get used to it. All right, but this week, I just felt like the 150th show was really difficult to put together, and I referenced that last week. And I should also say that I gave a shout-out to the interview that never made it on the air to Michelle Bonilla, one of my favorite actresses from ER and my favorite guest from the show, and her partner in crime for a project that she's working on, Michael Crabtree. I think the only problem with that shout-out is his name is Matt Crabtree. So,
that's a little bit of a problem.
Matt Crabtree. But I should say that their whole Failing Upwards, which is their new web series that's coming out, their Indiegogo page is now up where they're doing their fundraising to get this project going. So if you go to Facebook and you type in Failing Upwards, you can find the link and go to their Indiegogo and support projects like this because we're always trying to get more LGBT content out there in the media. But because it was kind of a stressful 150th show, putting it all together, we're just doing news this week.
Okay.
You and I are going to do news for a while, and then later Tanya and I are going to do news for a while, and we're going to catch everyone up on various news. This story is a little bit older. This is from a few weeks ago, but I did want to talk about it, and I didn't get to it. So over on advocate.com, I don't know if you read about this, they put together a list of the gayest cities in America. Did you hear about this?
No, I didn't.
So they have this very technical equation that is not at all technical, and it's very mathematically based, except it doesn't really have anything to do with math. So what they did was, this is the equation. I kid you not, this is the equation. I'm not making this up.
Okay.
This can't possibly be true, but this was the equation. So you got 1 point for LGBT elected city officials.
Okay.
So you got 1 point for each official.
Uh-huh.
You got 1 point for each city with a WNBA team.
What?
I swear to you. You got 1 point for international Mr. Leather competition semifinalists. You got 1 point for each city that sent a competitor to the final. 1 point for each city that has an Imperial Court chapter.
What?
1 point for each team, for each softball team that competed in the Gay Softball World Series. 1 point for each LGBT bookstore. 1 point for nude yoga, for each city with a nude yoga class. Jody, on radio, they can't see your head in your hands. 1 point for every city with laws prohibiting transgender discrimination. And 1 point for each performance, concert, by the gossip, the clicks, and the Veronicas. And that's all divided by population within city limits. So they came up with, this was their equation.
Who does this?
The Advocate. They did their equations, and so they have their top 15 cities, and I don't want to read them all, although I might. Number 15, Denver. I've been there. Number 14, Long Beach, California. 13, Austin. 12, Portland, Oregon. Number 11, Little Rock, Arkansas.
Okay.
Number 10, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Number 9, Atlanta. Number 8, Knoxville, Tennessee. Number 7, St. Paul and Minneapolis.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. They got a lot of points there. Number 6, Ann Arbor. Number 5, Seattle. 4, Fort Lauderdale. 3, Cambridge, Massachusetts, which has Mayor Denise Simmons, who I don't actually know if she's still mayor. I should look that up. She's one of the first guests ever on the show. Number 2, Orlando, Florida. And the number 1, the number 1 gayest city in America. And you can see why maybe this list has created some ire. Number 1, Salt Lake City.
Really?
No New York.
What?
No San Francisco. It's just, I don't know. It's a little bit silly. It's a little bit silly. And New York isn't even in the top 25. D.C. is number 16. New Orleans is number 17. San Francisco is number 18. But New York City, nowhere even in the top 25. So that's that list. If you're in any of those cities, write us and tell us how gay your life is there. And I'm sure it's very exciting. So that's that story. And then there was this other. So I have to tell you this because I think you're going to love this. And by that, I mean, I don't think you're going to love this. There is this article on guyism.com. I barely know what this website is.
Guyism as in the ism of guys, like males? Like
yes.
Okay.
Oh, guyism. And the subtitle is What Guys Need. Now, I'm going to look up if this is like an actual thing, like, because they have a Facebook page. And I do judge how successful something is by the number. But yeah, it's got 21,000 likes on Facebook. That's a thing. It's an actual thing. They have an article that was just released today. 7 reasons, Jody, which it's weird that your name is in there. 7 reasons, Jody, why gay marriage is good for straight men. What? Ready? Here we go. Number 7. There's less pressure to marry. It says homosexual men who are legally prohibited from marrying each other have no outlet for their wedding lust. That's why they are constantly drinking margaritas with your girlfriend and asking her over and over when she's going to get married. So there's going to be less pressure to marry. There you go. Number 6, gay weddings will be good places to hook up. Yeah, I'm not even going to read that one. Number 5, and this is number 5 in its entirety.
Yeah.
Lesbian weddings. I'll read that one. A lesbian wedding ceremony concludes with 2 women kissing. The reception has lots of female on female kissing. No straight man can oppose this. Huh. And you were wondering, because I actually remember your marriage-ish thing.
Yeah.
Where you wondered why all these straight people just were coming out of the woodworks coming to it. And now you know why. There's more.
Oh, right. It wasn't because I invited them.
No,
right.
No. It was because lesbian weddings. It's right there, number 5.
Right.
Number 4, more dating opportunities. There is nothing married people love more than fixing up their single friends on dates. There's also nothing gay men love more. Legalized nationwide gay marriage would end Match.com in our time. Huh. Number 3... to let them share our suffering. I'm not even going to read that one. Number 2, and I have to say, this is my favorite. Although number 1 is pretty awesome too. Number 2, I love this. Better school plays.
What?
Think long term on this one. Gay marriage will lead to an increase in gay parents. That means more children of gay men and women in the local school system. Call me a stereotypical jerk. Which we probably will.
Oh, yeah.
But I'll bet that the kids of homosexual parents will be better artists than their peers. You, sir, will have to attend school plays and music recitals someday. Do you want to sit through 3 hours of mind-numbing bleep like your dad did? Or would you rather be entertained by an adorable troupe of mini Neil Patrick Harris's? And number 1, isn't this insightful? We're learning here on the 151st show.
Yeah.
Number 1, less time waiting for the elliptical, which I actually enjoy, and this is why. And I love when it starts with this quote, I am not anti-gay in any way, but I am anti-waiting for the elliptical. My gym is filled with gay men and women, as are gyms in many cities. A married man, typically, is a man who no longer cares about the shape of his body. If that man is married to another married man who also no longer cares about his body, I imagine their mutual laziness will create a cycle of sloth that leads to a national decrease in gym attendance, which would be great for straight guys like me who are always waiting to use the elliptical. This article was written by Joe Donatelli. Joe Donatelli is a writer in Los Angeles who is comfortable referring to himself in third person. He was born and raised in Cleveland and is a graduate of two of the most prestigious schools of learning in this country, Ohio University's E.W. Scripps School of Journalism and the Upright Citizen Brigade Training Center in L.A. He writes humor columns. So you can write to Joe. He's at joedonatelli.com. You know, people write these things in kind of an ironic way, but then not everybody gets that this is ironic. And it's not in some section that's humor there on guyism, but wanted to read that out. Do you want to talk about that? Do you want me to just move on? I can just move on.
Yeah.
All right. I'll just move on.
Yeah.
What do we want to do? Education. We like education.
We love
education. All right. So this is the big story. This is the big story of the day. And it just came out today. A new study released today by the Gay, Lesbian, Straight Education Network, GLSEN, which is Jody and I's favorite LGBT nonprofit. Can we say that?
Yeah, I think
we so. We like all of them.
We like them.
But this one particularly impacts our work.
It does.
Although, I don't know if I ever told you, we're not supposed to use the word impacts in that way. Really? My dissertation advisor, and maybe I'll create change just by telling people this on the show. My dissertation advisor said you only use the word impact when it's connected to teeth or bowels. And other than that, you don't use it to say something impacted you. And I will say that it is forever, it has forever decreased my use of the word impact. So
yeah.
I feel that Dr. Cooper has now created change for all the listeners of This Show Is So Gay. Just want to put that out there. A new study today released by GLSEN takes an in-depth look at the climate of elementary schools in relation to bullying. The results demonstrate how important it is to be talking with young people about LGBT issues, which we tell you all the time, as homophobia is clearly already playing a big role for the third. Now, this is the difference. I talk a lot about, it's in my dissertation, it's in my research, about the middle school and high school students, mostly high school students who are in this national GLSEN survey. The thing about this survey, and people have been posting it on my Facebook wall, is that it's all about third to sixth graders, which I have to say, this might come out wrong, I want nothing to do with. As in, I barely work with high school students, but third to sixth graders, that is way outside my comfort zone. So, but it's not to say that this isn't very interesting. So this is third to sixth graders. Those are the ones who were surveyed. So here's what some of them said. 45% of students, and again, this is third to sixth graders. So that is 12-year-olds down to, what is that, 8-year-olds?
Something like that.
Yeah, 8-year-olds to 12-year-olds. 45% of these 8-year-olds to 12-year-olds surveyed, and 49% of teachers hear "that's so gay" or "you're so gay" used negatively sometimes or often. Now, with high school kids, it's somewhere in the 90%. But we're talking about, and I remember when I was going around and talking about my research, people would say, yes, but it doesn't extend down to the lower grades. Obviously, yes, it does. 45% and 49% of teachers. 48% of teachers hear students make sexist remarks at least sometimes in school, such as comments about what a boy or girl should do or wear. 26% of students and teachers hear fag or lesbo at least sometimes. 75% of students report that students in their school are called names, made fun of, or bullied with at least some regularity, with 36% saying that they have been the target. So less than half of teachers, this is a huge one, less than half of teachers feel comfortable responding to questions about gay, lesbian, and bisexual people, or, which was 48%, or transgender people, only 41%. Only 37% of teachers have received professional development on gender issues, and even less, 23%, have been trained to talk about families with LGBT parents. Anti-LGBT bullying is clearly underway among students as young as third grade, even if they do not fully understand the terms they are using. Stemming the bullying epidemic and its many negative consequences requires intervention at a young age, and there's that.
Yeah.
So, wow, I am so not equipped to talk about this with... Now, I have 7 nieces and nephews.
Yep.
3 of them are between the ages of 8 and 12.
Yep.
I don't know. I do this for a living.
Right. Yeah.
You do this.
Yeah.
We talk about youth, about LGBT issues.
Yeah.
I am so not, I would say I am in the percent that does not feel prepared to talk to third to sixth graders about this. Now, we've talked about how teachers at higher grades mm-hmm. are not equipped.
Right.
And it's less surprising to me that teachers at lower grades are not equipped.
Except they're going to have more students with LGBT parents.
Yes, that is true.
And so, I mean, it creates a really, I think, convenient way to bring it up.
Yeah.
In a really just, in a very benign sort of way. You know, Billy's dads, they come, they help out in the classroom.
Mm-hmm.
One of them, both of them, they come to parent-teacher talks. They are visible.
They're helping make the school play better.
They're helping make the school play better.
I just learned about that.
Yeah, yeah, we both were informed. I mean, having more LGBT parents part of the classroom or part of the PTAs or part of it can only help make that less weird.
Yeah.
Make it less of a, oh my gosh, I don't know how to talk about this. You can talk to them, say, hey, you know what? I so appreciate having your son in my class. Can you help me out a little bit here? Because I have gotten a couple of questions from some students about you guys. And it would be great if I could say something that wasn't going to be embarrassing mm-hmm. to you or to your son, but also could be informative. Like, do you have suggestions or resources or, you know, just having that kind of open partnership with the parents if they're there. And then if they're not there, places like GLSEN have curricula. They
have
materials, gobs of it. And there are books out there that even if you don't go to GLSEN, if you've never heard of them, there are books that people have heard about. They're, look at the banned books list. They're all on there.
Yeah. Yeah. I will say that is the most salient detail to me of this study. And people will pick apart different pieces of this study and run with it. And I think that's great. Run with it. Do education. But it's less important to me how often these, it's not to say it's not important to me. All these stats are important to me. The most salient piece is that teachers don't feel prepared to have these conversations because
right.
teachers from year to year are the constant
yep.
in the schools.
Yeah, absolutely. Sure, sure. And it is the responsibility of their principal to get that kind of training in there. And it's not, and if they're not doing it, then they are doing a complete disservice to their whole school community. Because if they don't have LGBT parents this year, they will eventually. Unless they live in some community where it is the most remote, unwelcoming, ever, 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 there would never be LGBT parents who would consider sending their kid there. But even that school, you never know.
Oh, you never know.
You never know.
I talked about this a little bit in the article in the Commons that yes, we are in a position of privilege, and I will never deny this. People have written and said, oh, you don't acknowledge your privilege living in Vermont. And by the way, again, send us an email, ken@thisshowissogay.com or jody@thisshowissogay.com. No, I acknowledge that all the time. We are in a position of privilege. That said, it is not to say that we don't still have work to do here in Windham County, Vermont, in southern Vermont. And I would like to do a nice little survey and see how many third to sixth grade teachers feel that they are feeling competent and ready mm-hmm. to have conversations about LGBT identity with students, with parents.
Right.
So I have no doubt that that is an area on which we can do significantly more education. And when you look at, and in particular, not in particular, but that also includes talking about trans people who identify as trans. You had the trans Girl Scout out in Colorado, who I think was 9 years old, where the troop, some people in the troop said they would rather ban the troop altogether and disband the troop than let her in. And since then, the Colorado Girl Scouts have let her in. But some Girl Scout leaders down in some place that's not, Tanya and I looked it up on a map, it's not next to Colorado. I think it was Louisiana, and which it turns out they're not even near each other.
Yeah.
They said that they were going to disband their troops in Louisiana because the Colorado troop let her in. Anyway, this is all to say this was, I think, a 9-year-old scout. So these issues are very much, you need to be able to have a conversation. And I'm owning my own, as someone who has nieces and nephews in this age range, and we do talk about it kind of. You know, if they were to ever describe something as so gay, I would intervene in a heartbeat. But that's the whole issue, is to be more proactive and not just say when you hear it in the moment.
Right.
But I got to say, I can totally understand that there are third to sixth grade teachers who are thinking, I don't actually have to do this, do I? Do I have to do this? And indeed, you do.
You do. Because if you don't, then it leads to all the misconceptions and all of the it does lead to bullying when it's not out in the open, when you don't talk about something and demystify it.
Yeah.
Then it leads to any possible realm of misinterpretation. The first thing you hear. So maybe the first thing you hear is something bad out on the playground, or you hear some of the older kids saying some other whatever. Like, oh, well, that must be it, because I'm going to believe the sixth graders, because the sixth graders, they know, because they're the big kids. They know.
And I love that you can trace these issues from third to sixth grade all the way up to college, because it's not as if there aren't issues in colleges. The college story of the week, we always have a college story here, in an effort to make Pepperdine University, pretty major university that people have heard of, in an effort to make Pepperdine University in Malibu, California, a safer environment for LGBT students and allies, an online petition has been launched by Alexander Cooper, a senior and member of the unrecognized gay-straight alliance group Reach Out, and out is in capital letters. The GSA applied November 9th to become an official student organization, but they were turned down the following month by the Churches of Christ-affiliated universities administrators. In the message accompanying his petition, Cooper said, quote, "This is the fourth time that a gay-straight alliance has been denied or discouraged from applying." So they actually have a change.org petition, which you can just go to change.org and search, I'm sure, for Pepperdine, and you can find it. And they are hoping to get 1,500 signatures. Just a few days ago, they were at 600. I checked right before the airtime of this show, and they were at 1,200 or 1,300. Mm-hmm. So they're almost there, but they should get tons more signatures. And everybody can sign. And the petition urges administrators to consider officially recognizing Reach Out. The Pepperdine Office of Student Affairs. Now, we work in an Office of Student Affairs. Can you imagine issuing a statement like this? This is what we do.
Yeah.
They issued a statement, our colleagues there at Pepperdine, saying that recognizing Reach Out would, quote, imply to many that Pepperdine is not honoring our affiliation with the Church of Christ. The Western Association of Schools and Colleges, that's an accreditation organization, they said, quote, Pepperdine's climate of don't ask, don't tell prevents it from appearing safe for open discourse. That's part of their accreditation process. So it is important that they, I don't know, look at that. And again, what is it that you think that you're promoting by recognizing a gay-straight alliance? What is it that you, Pepperdine, our colleagues there in student affairs, and I would imagine that that was difficult for some of them, what is it that you think that you are promoting that is at conflict with the Churches of Christ? Now, ironically, students at Pepperdine's School of Public Policy, they are encouraged to explore career opportunities with the Gay-Straight Alliance Network, the Gay Men's Health Crisis, and GLSEN. So there's some mixed messages going on, and I certainly don't want to take away those career opportunities because those are pretty darn important. But on the other hand, this is a group that's about safety. This is a group that is about people feeling more comfortable in their educational environment, which is the goal of every single educational environment. So,
yes.
Would you just not work there?
I would not work there. I'd have a problem working there.
But if they called you and said, I heard you're really good at this and we need you, we need someone like you at our school, but know, Jody, that you cannot recognize this group. But you'll be able to make a difference on the ground with our gay students, which Pepperdine, let's be clear, Pepperdine has gay students.
Right. I wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
I would not be able to do that.
It's the first job I turned down. I think it's the only job I've ever turned down, was right out of grad school. I interviewed at a school and was offered the position at a Catholic college in New York. I probably shouldn't say more than that.
Okay.
And I was offered the position and I really needed a job, and ultimately I turned it down because they said, you will be so great with our gay students. It's not the reason I wasn't being hired, because I was gay. They thought I could make a real difference on the ground with the gay students, but I had to be very clear that in my conversations with those students, I would also have to highlight that one of the resources on campus was the pastoral care.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't see myself having a conversation with a student where I had to say, and know that you can also talk to the Reverend on call. But then I also kind of was conflicted about that, because what if someone else is going to come in and not highlight all the different options?
Right.
And they're only highlighting the Reverend on call.
Right. I mean, having a reverend on call is not necessarily a bad thing.
Oh no, of course not.
I think it could be a really great thing. Having a spiritual resource on call could be a really powerful resource to have. It's whether the emergency is, I'm feeling gay. Oh, know that.
And that was the message.
Yeah. And that's not okay. I couldn't do
that. My pager's going off. Is someone injured? Oh, you're gay. I totally thought there was a party with a stripper pole and someone got hurt. Not that that happened where Jody and I work.
No,
but, you know,
not ever.
It did. So, so there's that. So you wouldn't work there?
No, I wouldn't.
All right.
I'd have a big problem.
I sometimes think that I want to move to a really anti-gay place and make a difference, but why would I do that? That just makes you a glutton.
It makes you a glutton for punishment.
And it's not to say that we do not support people who are living in those places and who are making a difference, but some of my colleagues who move to these places to make a difference, I don't know. I'm past that point in my life where I want to do that.
Fortitude.
At 34 years old, I'm past that point where I want to live in those places.
Yeah. No, I wish them all the best, and I hope that they have the resources they need to both feel as if they can make some headway and also take care of themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. So if you guys are doing that out there and you're listening and you want to tell us about your experience, we'd love to have you on the show. This is going to be the year where I would love to have, in addition to our unbelievably amazing and notable LGBT and ally guests, we would love to be featuring more people who are doing this on the ground work. Folks that are doing work that we might not have heard of, that we want to feature this to other people, because we think those stories, just as much as having the Indigo Girls on the show who we love, those stories inspire people just as much, because people hear them and think, oh, I could totally do that. And that's what the whole article in the comments is about, is how are you using your voice? So that's pretty much it. So this is actually only the midpoint of the show. You're so used to doing the end tag of the show, so you're not going to get to do it. Tanya's going to get to do it in the second half of the show.
Well,
so for this, you just get to say, enjoy the music.
Enjoy the music.
Talk to you later, Jody.
First, when there's nothing but a slow, your fear seems to hide deep inside your mind. All alone, I have cried. Silent tears full of pride in a world made of steel, made of
folks, and we are back as promised. First half of the show with Jody, second and the half of the show with
Tanya.
Tanya's here.
I love that it was promised.
Promised. I deliver. My promises. Now, the funniest thing about your name, and you don't know this.
I'm so excited to hear
it. So there was a huge article, I said, in the first half of the show. There was this big article. You can find it at commonsnews.org. And all about the 150th show, and it's just about 3.5 years of the show. It's a really, really cool piece on the show, So Gay, and people should check it out and learn more about why it is we do what we do. So there's one section of there where they give shout-outs to the various co-hosts. And they wrote me and said, well, does Tanya have a last name? Because I don't know if you've seen on the website, everybody else has a last name except for you. It just says
Tanya. Madonna? Is this what we're saying?
Well, that's so funny because someone you know said exactly the same thing on the lunch line today. But it was so I wrote back and said, well, and I figured, well, should I check with you? Should I not check with you? Because when you gave me your bio, it only said Tanya years ago. And so, but I just said, no, this is her last name. I didn't even check with you. Whatever.
That's fine.
Works for Planned Parenthood. So in the article today, just Tanya. Yes. So it says, like, Jodie Clark does this, and Steve West does this, and Becca Sheehan, and Tanya is a poet and a ray of sunshine, or, like, something like that.
Gosh.
So it's very exciting, and
that's
even though I did give your last
name. Status
well, now
thing.
I don't want to change, because someone you know said, oh, you can add her last name on the website. And I'm like, yeah, I'm probably going to do that. And now I'm thinking, no, I don't, because
I like it.
No, it's good. Yep. It's so you are Tanya.
Excellent.
And I don't even know who your competition is. Is there anyone else who you would say? Because you got Tanya Harding.
Yeah, not her.
Okay.
She's not really around anymore.
So, in my head, she is.
There aren't that many. It's not a very
Tanya Tucker.
Name. Yes, but she goes still... by Tanya Tucker.
No way.
She does.
Of course
it's
you
very
know
country.
That. Who else? Wasn't one of the Charlie's Angels Tanya?
She was, yes.
Okay.
But, see, we can't even remember
all
her
right,
last
so that
name.
Wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
And I can't think of any others.
It's hard. Although it worked the other day, four other Tanyas came in. And
oh,
I've
really?
Never
oh, Tanya Castaneda?
I don't know who that is.
Went to high school with her.
Oh,
all right.
Okay.
So we have so many. Gosh, she's going to be so excited. She got a shout out and really mystified because we don't talk anymore. But I'm going to write her on Facebook. And that's one more listener for this week.
Excellent.
All right. So many stories for this week. I barely know where to start. Although in Indiana, which I know you used to live there.
Uh-huh.
No?
No.
Okay. Indiana got its first gay license plate.
I don't even understand what that means.
You can get a
like,
license plate.
With the symbols together?
Promoting LGBT causes. The plates bear the logo of the Indiana Youth Group, an organization promoting LGBT tolerance in schools. Drivers can pay $40 for the specialty plates, with $25 going to the gay organization. The Indiana Youth Group sued the state after the Department of Motor Vehicles twice turned down the request for the plates, with the DMV claiming that the money for the plates would go to salaries instead of programs with statewide impact, which that's kind of a salient argument.
Yeah,
that's actually, that's better than an anti-gay argument.
Yeah.
That's just a good argument. Though the Indiana Youth Group's lawsuit was dismissed, it was later able to prove the value of its services to the DMV. So if you were to move back to Indiana, you could get a plate.
Oh my gosh, that's so exciting.
I don't have a picture of it.
That's,
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm wondering
no
what
picture.
It looks like.
But people can
go.
Go
Indiana.
Yes, Indiana, go get your plates, which promotes the Indiana Youth Group, which
wow.
we like that. So that's going on. I figured this was a very Planned Parenthood type story. How's it going there at the
it's
Planned Parenthood?
It's going really well.
People write in every week and say how she's doing at Planned Parenthood.
I'm doing really well. I go for my super duper training next week
oh.
in Burlington, Vermont.
Oh, boy.
And then
you've been taking a lot of blood and dealing with a lot of snakes
and
all
those,
that, all those
things.
So one thing that's happening in the L.A. adult film industry.
Mm-hmm.
You
very
used to work
familiar.
In the... I'm just going to connect every story.
That's when I dropped my last name. My dad, he gets embarrassed.
You know? You're never going to work in this town again. Except that here in Brattleboro, that probably just qualified you for other employment.
I'm going to get home and I'm going to have 6 job offers.
Wow. Yep. Probably making a lot better money than I'm making. I'll just put that out there. So some of the major players of LA's adult film industry say that they will take their productions out of town if the city council enforces this new law that they just passed, which is mandatory use of condoms on film sets. Last week, the LA City Council approved an ordinance sponsored by the AIDS Healthcare Foundation that would deny film permits to productions that violated the already on the books law requiring the use of condoms. So that's already, you're supposed to use condoms in these films already, but now the LA City Council is saying, okay, some of you may not even be doing it. We're just going to deny you film permits, which I thought, well, that's kind of cool.
I think that's a good idea.
I would imagine there's a lot of film companies in the adult variety there in LA.
Yes, I'm sure. And so if some drop out,
that's okay.
There are plenty more.
That's plenty more. Yep. So I thought that was kind of a cool story.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to talk about George Michael, as
oh,
I normally do.
Yes!
So I really, you know, I struggled because I wasn't going to talk about this because I can't find the story. But I read it, and so it's true. That George Michael, does that work like that?
Yes, in my world it does.
I read it online, and I can't quote from it, so it must be true.
Especially if you read it on Yahoo News, then it absolutely should.
I think I did. I don't even think I did. I think it was like Hotmail News, which is even worse. It's the lower variety. But it was when I was watching an adult film from L.A. in Indiana. I'm just combining all the stories.
Mm-hmm.
That did not sound good at all.
Did you see me in it?
You, you know, I didn't recognize you because I know your last name.
Exactly.
And so it was very, I mean, the name tag was cute. I don't know how you kept that on.
I know.
So George Michael came, oh, he came out, but he also came out, and I thought this was so cool, because we always on this show talk about apologies and people who issue false apologies for things. Mm-hmm. But George Michael said, you know what? I've done a disservice to all the youth that look up to me, and I'm going to come back strong, and I'm going to come back as a strong recording artist, but I'm also going to be a better role model. And wow. I thought that was really cool.
It is, and I'm so excited. George Michael's coming back as a strong recording artist.
Role model for youth, be damned. You're all about the fact that he's coming back.
Remember when he was leaning against the jukebox and tapping his foot, and then it exploded?
For me, though, it was all about freedom.
Oh, my gosh.
With all of
with all the supermodels.
Yes, the ones with all the supermodels. Oh, my God.
That was amazing. Yeah.
And there was a male supermodel in there hanging from the gravity boots.
The gravity boots, exactly. Yeah. That video has something for everyone in it,
really.
That
video, was there more in that video? I don't remember.
I saw some more, but that's
Cindy Crawford is in that video, yeah, in a bathtub.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Look at
and
that.
And Linda Evangelista and Naomi Campbell. That's when I used to be really up into supermodels.
Look at that. Yeah. Do you know another person I would really like to get on the show? And by the way, that's in addition to George Michael, who if we could get George Michael on the show, I will say right here, if we can get George Michael on the show, that will be the last episode of this show. It's okay. I am promising it right here. The last episode, George Michael. So episode 182, mm-hmm. when George Michael is on. Does that give me enough time? That gives me some time.
Yeah, that gives me some months.
That will be 182 is going to be the last episode.
I'm so excited.
But my other person that I would love to get on the show is, do you ever watch Tabitha? See, you're not such a TV watcher, though.
But occasionally. Is it new TV?
A little. Yes. Tabitha. So Tabitha, who she really does go with one name. Yeah. In fact,
maybe she didn't used to.
Exactly.
Maybe it was just like
it
this.
It was before her film. Tabitha Coffey is her name. She was on a reality show on Bravo called Sheer Genius. Mm-hmm. And people, I know a lot of people who listen to the show are like, we know. This is for Tanya, folks.
Thank you.
So she was on a reality show called Sheer Genius, which was a haircutting reality
of
show.
Of course.
With one of the judges was Mike Carl, who, as you know, I used to date when I was a sophomore in college. So
exactly.
he was working at the Polo store, and now he's a judge on Sheer Genius.
Wow.
And he's some big muckety muck and, you know, whatever. Mike, if you want to be on the show, we can be back on the show. But that'd be weird. So she was on that, and she's this tall, statuesque, Amazonian, blonde, but with a really cool haircut, Australian diva who has since come out. Now, she has a show called Tabitha Salon Takeover, which is brilliant. I mean, there's Pulitzer Prize-winning journalism, and then a step above that is Tabitha Salon Takeover, which as I would watch an episode with you tonight. Like, I will come over, and we will watch it.
I feel like there's a part of me missing that I haven't seen it.
You don't even know until it just started. Well, this is the whole point. So she does this. She did three seasons of Salon Takeover, and it's a great show. The format is the same every time. The salon's not going very well. Mm-hmm. Tabitha swoops in. She does a little bit of a makeover, but she also tells the owners they're doing a crappy job, and sometimes she fires someone, and it's great. Now, this season, for season four, I thought it was Tabitha Salon Takeover. Mm-hmm. So the first episode came out of the season, and I cried. It was really, there was just this mother and the daughter, and it was very emotional. Now, the second episode, so I downloaded it, the All Access Pass on iTunes, and the second episode came out today, and it's not called Tabitha Salon Takeover. It's called Tabitha's Takeover, or Tabitha Takes Over. So I guess the new premise for this season, even though the first episode she did a salon takeover, and I think next week there's a salon as well, she's also redoing various establishments.
Oh, my gosh.
So she went into this bar in someplace near West Hollywood. I don't really know that side of the country. Called Ripples. And apparently it was the first gay bar in 1974 in that whole area there on the beach. It is unbelievable. It's Bravo, so I get the whole Bravo's already pretty gay friendly, and so they already have that going on for them, and Project Runway used to be on Bravo and all these different things. But this is kind of really amazing television to have her. She's been taking over salons, and there's always been gay content, because I don't know if you've ever been to a salon. So,
in fact, I only get my hair cut in salons.
Is that true?
It's 100% true. I pay a lot of money to get my hair cut.
Are you being serious?
I'm totally serious.
I'm not doubting you.
It's a thing about me where, you know, I might live in the woods without electricity, but I will drive and get my hair cut for $60.
I use a Flowbee. I use a Floby. And if you've seen my picture, I could pull off that. I could be a Floby spokesperson. If you're listening to this and you don't know what a Floby is, get someone else to listen and they'll tell you.
It's true, because if I know what it is, you really should.
So it's just really kind of amazing television to have her going in, and she's very out in this. She's very, very out.
It's so exciting.
It's very exciting. So everyone should be watching Tabitha Takes Over, I guess. Next week it's a salon, though. Yeah. Amazing. It was really, really inspiring, and it was fun to hear her. She's normally, I think, a lot harder. Not, I think, because I've seen the the episodes. She's normally a lot harder on the salon owners, but these bar owners, I think, are husbands who have been together for 34 years, and she gave them deference, which I thought was not out of the novelty of doing a non-salon, but it really came. And she says it came out of deference for being someone in the gay community, respecting people who opened up a gay bar in 1974. And I just thought that was just so cool. I don't know. That was my, by the way, not in any of the stories that I have on my computer screen
I
planning on talking about Tabitha, but I would love to get Tabitha on the show. She's got a salon in New Jersey, and I would love, oh my gosh. She is
incredible.
Does
she still live in Australia, or does she
live
on the West Coast?
She lives, she's got a salon in New Jersey. I assume she's often there. She might be just trading on her name.
Maybe
the salon.
Maybe we should go and
I would totally
get our haircuts and record a show from there.
I would bring my Floby.
Oh my gosh.
And just
she
see
could
how,
take it over.
The show is brilliant. I know people will say, oh, it's the same format every week, and also it's a reality show and it's about salons. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. I cried the first episode of the season. The daughter has been taking over for the mother because the mother is a little bit of a wild child and the daughter's had to discipline her staff. And Tanya, the daughter, just wants to be a yoga instructor.
Oh my gosh.
And so Tabitha swoops in and gives her, got her a job at a yoga studio.
Wow.
I was a mess. Then, as naturally I would be.
Yeah. Because now the woman's dream has come true.
For some people, it's Schindler's List. Yeah. For me, it was Tabitha Take. My mom is not going to like that little line that I just threw in there. Let's see. I don't know how you transition from Tabitha Takes Over to President Obama, but we do politics here.
Yes.
Do you want to transition in that? I don't.
It's all the same vowel ending.
Really? You did that very quickly. You did that very quickly. Whereas I was thinking, oh, just like a Floby. That's a totally different vowel ending. But I could connect it there. So the cool thing that President Obama said, now people are going a little back and forth about President Obama, some in the gay community, which I don't think they should be doing, because I do ultimately think, even though I've struggled with President Obama over the past couple of years, and by the way, I don't like when people say Obama.
Mm-hmm.
It's President Obama.
It's President Obama.
That's who he is. And I said President Bush as well. It's just that's their title. He, I think, has done a lot for the gay community. I think the international human rights speech that Hillary Clinton gave, she couldn't have given it without Secretary of State Clinton. Excuse me. Well, wasn't that a moment that we can deconstruct on gender lines? Another show that she gave. She couldn't have given that unless she had his okay, and certainly getting rid of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. And yes, he has more to do with marriage. But so this, he was being pressed about gay marriage because right over the bridge, and I'm pointing. People can't see because it's radio. But New Hampshire, will you verify for people?
We could throw a stone.
We really could throw a stone. It's right outside our window. So there's spending millions and millions of dollars in New Hampshire to take away the right of gay people to marry. And so this was kind of cool that the White House, in response to The Blade, which is a great paper, a Blade inquiry about the possible vote to repeal same-sex marriage rights in New Hampshire, the White House said the other night that President Obama, quote, believes strongly in stopping laws designed to take rights away. And I like that.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of my whole thing. Oh, they said more. I should say more. Yeah. Keep going with the quote. While the president does not weigh in on every single action taken by legislative bodies in our country, the record is clear that the president has long opposed divisive and discriminatory efforts to deny rights and benefits to same-sex couples. The president believes strongly in stopping laws designed to take rights away. And I think that, yes, he could come out and say, I'm in favor of gay marriage. Mm-hmm. But that these folks are spending millions of dollars. And I hear, by the way, I could be wrong. I have heard that there are economic issues in the country.
Yes. I have heard that as well.
I'm
even
just at
Yahoo,
home with my Floby.
Even on Yahoo News, they talk about that.
Yeah.
I bet on Hotmail News, too.
Where is the part where we step up and say, yeah, you shouldn't be spending millions of dollars to take people's rights away?
Yeah, to go back and take Yeah.
That's crazy. I barely tolerate when people swoop in when there's no laws on the books. And I think it's South Carolina. It's one of the Carolinas. I don't mean to confuse them. If you live in one of them, of course, your Carolina is much different than the other one. But in one of the Carolinas, they are proposing an amendment, even though there already is no gay marriage in whichever Carolina is, they want to codify that more and put an amendment that says marriage is only between a man and a woman. So I think that's unnecessary and it's silly, and I don't think people should be spending money on that. But I can somewhat tolerate that because it's not like they're taking something away that's already there.
I think they're just being redundant.
Yeah. I mean, I think let's they're being mean and redundant.
Yes.
Exactly. Exactly. So I think they're being mean and redundant. It's a whole nother thing when you've, here are rights for you. Mm-hmm. Oh, wait, we're going to talk about taking them away.
Mm-hmm. And spend that money.
I got not nice emails about this, too. People have written me and said, you know, you shouldn't be tolerating either. Well, I don't. I think they both suck. But at the same time, in some ways, it hurts more when, oh, just kidding, give it back. Give it back, and we're going to spend millions of dollars.
New Hampshire, now that I work there sometimes, it is a struggling state financially, as all of them, I think, are.
This money would be great. More money.
It would be great.
This is the same thing. The National Organization of Marriage, problematic organization for the gays. They are pledging $250,000 to fund primary challenges to any Washington State Republican senator. But by the way, that's very interesting that it says Republican, because I wonder if, let me finish, it's to any Washington State Republican senator who votes to redefine marriage. I wonder if a Democratic senator who votes to redefine marriage, if they would support that senator with $250,000. But again, $250,000.
Right.
We could almost live on that.
Yes, we could.
Not with your salon lifestyle.
Exactly. That's what I was just about to say.
Do you set aside money for your salon visits? Because I would assume I've met you.
It's true. Several times.
You're very fiscally conservative.
I am, but that is
thrifty.
I am thrifty and I am woodsy and I don't spend a lot of money.
You've lived off the grid for 14 years now.
And I would hook up my horse and cart and ride into town to the salon.
I mean, the number of times, Tanya, can you come host the show? No, I'm churning the butter.
Exactly.
And I have to do that through tin cans and string because, God forbid, you should get a phone.
Well, I did get the Telegraph, and that was really great. So that's why I'm here today.
I've tried with the smoke signal. Now, have you found a salon here in the Brattleboro?
Oh, no. I still drive to my old one, so I drive an hour now.
Wow.
Yeah, it's dedication.
I don't want to hype any salon.
They actually give me a discount because I drive an hour. They give me a 30% discount.
Well, what you need to weigh out is that if I were to endorse a salon in the show, and I couldn't possibly endorse Enright & Company, but if you were to go there, I would get a discount. So it's just things to weigh out.
That is.
It's things to weigh out. So that's what's going on with the National Organization of Marriage. They are announcing that they will spend $250,000 to help fund primary challenges to any Republican legislator who crosses the party platform and votes in favor of same-sex marriage. They will also work with pro-marriage grassroots, or I hate that phrase.
Pro-marriage.
I hate that phrase.
Yep.
They will also work with pro-marriage grassroots organizations to ensure that the people of Washington have the chance to vote on marriage in November 2012. And I do regret to inform folks that Representative Marco Leas, and we do have to get him back on the show. He's been on the show twice before, and the last time he was on the show, we talked about how he is running for Congress there in Washington State. He has, unfortunately, dropped out of the race, not because he's not incredible, but because redistricting lines has really affected who would be voting for him. So wanted to give him a shout out, and we'll have him back on the show. So that's that. Indiana, we've already covered. This is kind of interesting over in Elmhurst College. We covered this a while ago, actually, that Elmhurst College in their application process had added a spot where you could identify as LGBT and then qualify for a special diversity scholarship. And the fears of people who were against this were saying that it was going to cause straight people to identify as gay just to get the scholarship, and they're finding that hasn't happened. So,
yeah,
closing the loop on that. And then, let's see, more about Washington. I guess there's a lot going on in Washington about
State.
Marriage equality. So a lot about, as Washington Governor Gregoire and state legislators push for marriage equality, the state's Roman Catholic leaders are pushing back. again, this is what we're spending our time on. In a letter published last week on the Seattle Archdiocese website, Washington State's four Catholic bishops call on members of the faith to contact lawmakers and urge them to, quote, defend the current definition of marriage. That's also an interesting phrase, defend the current definition of marriage. So not in some ways, I really need to go into PR. Because what I would have said, were I anti-gay, Roman Catholic, and a bishop, which... for me, it's like a Tuesday.
Yeah, you know, exactly. That's like, well, I mean, you have the robe.
I have the robe. I really do. I could.
You have it right now.
Oh, it
now,
has actually. A cross on it, too. It's a thank you, Fordham, for my PhD robe. I would not have said that. I would have said defend. I would have actually said defend the definition of marriage.
Right, not the current.
Current, because that implies it could change.
Yep.
I totally. If I walk away from episode 151 with a new PR job, with the Catholic bishops in Seattle, that would be, I would stop at episode 151.
Yeah. Just wait, when is George there. Michael coming? 158?
He's 182.
Oh, okay.
182. I really am going to, I don't know how to do it. Hey, if you're listening to this and you're connected to George Michael, I would like him on episode 182.
Yes.
So please let me know. And then earlier this week, this is a hilarious story. And also, it's not. A pair of radio hosts, now it's a radio story, so we like radio stories. Just this past Monday, a pair of radio hosts on a syndicated show, the John and Ken Show, not Ken Schneck, not Ken Schneck, and not Tanya John.
No, not Tanya John.
So the John and Ken Show, they were talking about the thinness of actresses who walk the red carpet for the Golden Globes on Sunday night. And this was their quote. You ready? This is fun. You might want to close your eyes for this and just
and
listen
visualize.
To the quote. Quote, gay guys control the fashion industry and the casting industry and the whole Hollywood look. And gays like bodies that remind them of a 14-year-old boy. Guys like curves. It's biological because a woman with curves looks like she can bear your children successfully. And that's biologically what a man is looking for. So sexually, a guy is much more turned on by a woman with curves than these 14-year-old boy stick figures. And that's how I know for sure. I don't need to do any research or any proof that it's gay guys who control the entire casting industry.
Huh.
I don't think I've ever read a quote twice.
Yeah.
I'm almost tempted to read it again.
I think I understand what they're saying.
Because if it were straight guys.
If it were straight guys, the women would be curvy.
Yes.
Yes.
But he's being serious.
Yeah.
He's being serious that he has followed this logic through. And
that's his proof.
And to be clear, it is not my namesake. It is not Ken Ciampo. It's John Cobalt. Thoughts?
Huh. Well, if only all research and proof were that easy.
Yes. I think, so this, I think, qualifies as quantitative.
Yes.
Because there were numbers. He was looking at the number of... No, this is more qualitative research.
Qualitative. But what about the whole hourglass figure and all?
Yeah.
And
they were very thin, I will say that.
Oh.
But I did not see the thin women on the red carpet and think, oh, well, a gay guy must have dressed her.
Right.
Because she looks like a 14-year-old boy. Now, I will say...
Well, then what is that saying?
I will say... And about 14-year-old boys.
Yeah.
I will say that the Kinsey Six... who I enjoy immensely. I've not played the Kinsey Six music for you, really,
no.
Have I? Oh, the Kinsey Six, who I enjoy immensely. They are America's favorite drag a cappella barbershop quartet. And they've been on the show before, two members of the Kinsey Six. And that's a fun show, and folks should go back and listen to that. But members of the Kinsey Six have their holiday album, Oy Vey in a Manger, which
nice.
Is a very enjoyable holiday album. And they have a song called God Bless Ye Femi Lesbians. And it's all about how both lesbians and gay men seek partners who look like 14-year-old boys.
Oh.
Which I thought, but that's done with humor and these guys.
That's just kind of proving it.
There you go.
He probably would have gone to that song and said, see, I did one more piece of research.
I did research and I was listening to Oy Vey in a Manger. After I watched the Golden Globes, and thus, according to sociological theory, gay men must have dressed these people.
So please give me my PhD robe with the cross on it.
Look at that. He could also be a Catholic bishop there And
oh, 14-year-old boys and Catholic bishops.
Oh, see, that's I didn't even story. Go. I have a Flowbee. All right, so, and that didn't sound right in that context either, but that's okay. My Flowbee does not fulfill me in that way, and I resent all of you listening saying that. All right, so do you know, by the way, that also brings us to the end of our show. That's how quick this goes. It goes
it's like a strange time warp.
Yes, it goes very quick. So folks should, of course, drop us an email, ken@thisshowisogay.com. Stroll on over to thisshowisogay.com. We have amazing upcoming guests. Next week, the husband and husband comedy team of Dick and Dwayne are going to be on.
Fun.
And then the week after that, we have a very special relationship edition of This Show Is So Gay. The author of 100 Lesbians Walked Into a Bar, which is all this really great relationship advice. So that's going to be for Valentine's Day. Hopefully I will learn something. You could come and you could learn something. It's going to be really fun.
Excellent.
And all these other amazing upcoming guests. So go to The Show So Gay and find all that out. And over on the Facebook, were you to type in The Show Is So Gay, you perhaps... Oh, I'm going to run a contest. I'm going to do it as soon as I get home. I'm going to run a contest.
Yes.
If you are the 1,000th member of the This Show Is So Gay Facebook, I will send you a t-shirt. That's not bad.
A t-shirt that says This Show Is So Gay, just one you want to get rid of.
Do you not have a This Show Is So Gay
no.
t-shirt? Oh, I'll totally get you
oh
a This Show.
Oh my gosh,
I
I'll
promise.
Wear it all
yes.
the time.
I mean, I don't have that many. They're collector's items.
Exactly.
So I will get you a This Show Is So Gay
t-shirt. There
are
only two left and I'm getting one of them. So.
So you will have the other one. And I will also send you Tanya so that you can take a picture together and we'll put it on the website. She's only got one name.
You'll
you can only
famous.
Have one name too. Oh boy. So that's it. That was a news wrap up. That was a lot of news for one show and a lot about Tabitha's salon takeover.
It's, well, it was clearly worth it because now that I'm going to go, I'm going to get electricity
just to watch this
it.
Show. We're going to watch it right after the show. All right. So you folks go get out there, go do some incredible things. Go read the article about This Show So Gay, commonsnews.org. And while you're reading that article, remember, why be gay when you can be so gay?
To